Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 299. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions or suggestions for any show topic. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have a great voicemail that I'm going to play in a few minutes. And you can leave that at 240-949-2450. Also, the wiki, mtswiki.com, where you can get links to all of the great archives of all the past shows. The new website is, we're getting closer and closer, and I have engaged an individual that is doing some tweaks behind the scenes. You're not seeing those tweaks yet, but this weekend you may want to check out mikenation.net because I'm going to be changing a bunch of things and some colors and some stuff on the website. I'm excited. The closer that I get to that being finalized, then I'm going to pull the trigger and move everything. So over, and so miketechshow.com, I'll move the DNS, and away we go, and let's see what happens. So hopefully everything will go good, but I'm happy so far. I got off to a flying start and then stalled a little bit, and it's good because Blogger extended their deadline to May 1st, and I'm really glad. That gave me an extra few weeks to make some decisions on a couple things, so I'm really happy about that. Tonight's show, it's show 299, so you got to stay tuned for a couple things. You want to learn how to enter the contest, which I'm going to do later in the show. I'll give you clue number two. If you this is the first time you're listening, hey, listen to show 298 from last week because there's a clue in there that's very easy that I give. You're going to need that clue, the clue from tonight's show, and some instructions on how you enter. It's very simple. There's six prizes. I'm going to go over how you can enter where you get to pick one prize that you're going after. And I will have six very quick drawings next week out of all the entries on show 300. And that's it. Tonight's show, one little topic I have to spend a couple minutes on, change control. And then the second part of the show is going to be email that I want to get to. Lots of great email here. My first comment, anytime you are approaching change in your company, or maybe it's for a client, you have to go through a process. I think I've covered this in the past, but it is worth talking about. When you invoke change, if you don't think of everything that can happen, the impact, prepare a backout plan. You absolutely cannot approach it and expect to succeed. You'll get lucky. There's times where you can invoke a change and not prepare and just get lucky, but you don't want luck. I don't like luck. When I play, I want it fixed. I want to know I'm going to win. And the way you can guarantee it, and keep this in mind if you're ever interviewing, because this is important, you got to be able to have a change control process. They call it change management process, where you document what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, who's going to impact, and then what is the backout plan if something goes wrong? How am I going to back out? And then list the details. And then that has to be reviewed by others to make sure that you're thinking here. You can't possibly think of everything that can impact with a change. Is it just a change to a server? Maybe it's a patch. Maybe it's something. What is your testing process? What did you do to test for the change? And what are you going to do to test after you make the change? I'm having trouble getting this through to a client. And it gets upsetting because they pay me to help them. And when I advise them about and have set up a change control process that they continue to not follow and then impact the business and the user community constantly, I don't know. Why don't they listen? I'm giving them sound advice. I don't get it. I can't get into details, but it is troubling, and it's something that I'm having trouble breaking through. And I hope that I will continue to pound away. I will continue to preach the right way of approaching change in a business environment. And I will continue to do that because I know I'm right. And because of that, I will continue to do that, even if it costs me my consulting for this particular client. I am not going to give up. I believe they will eventually, they will follow the righteous path that I am setting up. That's all I can do, and to keep doing it. I get on my soapbox every now and then. I know that there are there are some people involved with this client that I know will be listening to this show. And without saying any names, they know who it is. And continue to follow the process, to insist upon change controls. If you're asked to do the change, stop, pause, and insist upon doing the right thing. And guess what? Good things will happen. I promise you. I promise you. I've laid the groundwork. Follow it, and it will work. Now, before I get into email, and I have some great email here, audible.com is a place that hosts over 75,000 titles, virtually every genre you can think of, and you can get a free audiobook and a 14-day trial by signing up today at www.audiblepodcast.com/MikeTechShow. And a complete endorsement for this is this message. And you're going to learn something here too. Give a listen.
Hi, Mike. Now that Audible is sponsoring your show, I figured I would give you a couple of suggestions to get the listeners started on their Audible adventure. So, as you know, I've been a member of Audible for a very long time. I love the idea. I love the service. And I've also amassed quite a library of books. So, I like to keep my library about half and half. So, half fiction, half nonfiction. And that's what I'm going to do with these recommendations. I'm going to give you one that's nonfiction and one that's fiction. So, to start us off, let's go with the nonfiction, and that is The Lemon Tree, An Arab, A Jew, and the Heart of the Middle East, and is written and read by Sandy Tolan. And it is a very good story. It is actually a phenomenal story that revolves around a house with a backyard that has a lemon tree. That house was made by an Arab and later populated by a Jew. And the story revolves around the history of the area, the things that took place, and the unlikely relationship and friendship between the prior owner's son and the current owner's daughter. And if you're a fan of history, and if you're not quite well versed in what and how this whole Palestinian-Israeli problem developed, you can listen to this book and get a really good idea, because it's written from a neutral point of view, and it's not skewed either way. So it is a really good listen and a really good story. So my second suggestion is Blasphemy by Douglas Preston. And it is a fictional story that is definitely geeky. It presumes that the Large Hadron Collider that was built in Europe was actually built in the U.S., and all of the kooky things that happen, not only just the scientific aspect of it, but the non-scientific aspect, where some of the crazies think that we're trying to imitate God by recreating the Big Bang, and all the things that interweave with each other to form this great story. I know a lot of your listeners are geeky tech types, and this is going to be a great book to start on. So either one of these two, nonfiction, The Lemon Tree, or fiction, Blasphemy, are really good ways to start. And I would like to personally thank Audible for sponsoring your show.
Thank you. And that was Winston Wolf with some interesting topics. And Winston has kindly donated two very technical books that are part of the prizes that I'm going to be giving out. And I'll mention them later in the podcast. Let's get to some email here. I've been meaning to get to some of these emails for a long time. This is from Mike, and he has a question, so we need some help. And this is about Microsoft's Business Productivity Online Suite. And he says, I have recently found your podcast, and I'm making my way through the old episodes. I like your podcast over others because it seems to be more technical and have real-world use. I have found many new programs from your suggestions. One of my questions, what are your thoughts on the Microsoft Exchange Online BPOS, the Business Productivity Online Suite? I've been looking at migrating over, but can't find any recent reviews of the service. I have used a demo, and it looks good so far. I'm aware of the recent outages and feel that an outage could happen if the Exchange server is located internally. I guess who better to work on your Exchange server than the people that made Exchange? Thanks for the great show, Mike Z in Baltimore. I need your feedback on this online service by Microsoft. So the Business Productivity Online Suite. Let me know so we can let Mike know. This is from Charles. I love the show. I've been listening for about 6 months. I graduated with a BS in Computer and Information Science last March. I obtained my degree while working full-time to support my family. Since that time, I have repeatedly been applying to jobs dealing with software engineering, but the jobs always are looking for prior experience. I was not able to complete an internship due to my full-time employment. I am not particularly picky anymore as to what job within the computer field I obtain. I know you have mentioned different ways of gaining experience from individual learning and executing projects on your own. But I cannot find the different episodes dealing with this issue. Is there any way you can detail the episodes dealing with this issue? Is there any advice you can give me to help in my employment search? Thanks in advance any help on this matter, and keep up the good work. Charles, absolutely. Show number 298, I detail how to write the perfect resume. In the show notes of that show, I link incredible resources. I put together a PDF of all the online search engines and places to go to look for jobs. I even have a link to an older podcast I did on how to prepare for the job interview. So I think show 298 has all the links to everything you want. And then you're going to be listening to another show, my show number 129. Now, how do we help you put together a testing environment? That's a little harder. One of the things that you need to do, and I don't have one particular show, I mention lots of little tidbits in many shows. You have to start building out an environment and testing. And a perfect example was a candidate I met today who interviewed for a senior network engineering position that I'm helping one of my clients hire. The guy is self-taught and described his lab. I had to pull it out of him a little bit. I wanted to know about his home environment. he talked about his work environment. He does have experience, but guess where he gained it all? At home. And he built it out and he started describing what he's done and the Linux servers and what he's running on them and what he's doing. It can be done. The best engineers that I've met, and this is not to knock certifications or education, they have their place. The best network engineers that I have found are self-taught. You have to put the effort and the passion into it and build out and start teaching yourself. It is not easy. It isn't. I hope this helps. I know there's a lot more I could talk about, but I just think this is enough to get you started. This is from Paul, Server 2008. He says, I have a Server 2008, and when I delete files and then empty the recycle bin, they reappear a few hours later. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Love the show as usual. Also, when I delete the files, I do it as administrator on the server. Do you have anything protecting the recycle bin? Is there any other programs that is happening when you delete it? And now what I would like you to do is hold the shift key down when you right click and pick delete. I want you to be holding the shift key down to permanently delete it, and then let me know if the file is gone. So there's got to be something else running there that's protecting the recycle bin to make it where it's really not deleting the files. This is from Dennis. Can you please review my new freeware program in your podcast? It's called Start Menu 7. I haven't had a chance to review it, but I'll tell you what, if one of you guys want to, you know, listeners out there can go to startmenu7.com. And he has it has many advantages over existing menu in Windows 7. Like, it shows you everything on your PC instead of having to hunt for this or that, like Microsoft, and that saves you time and effort. We can give that a try, and I'll have a link to his program in the show notes. This is from Roy. I'm a longtime listener and want to thank you for the great show. I have a friend that is part of the development team of Microsoft Security Essentials here in Israel. I've told him about the performance problems I had with it on some of my machines. He asked me for more details about the problem because they don't see the problems in the lab. I thought that you and all your listeners can be a great resource for information about the problem. I'll be glad if you could send me more details about the problem. So anybody who's using MSE and you have problems, we want to know what the details of the machine MSE is running on, what process is the performance eater. So when you go into task manager and the CPU, which process is killing the CPU? What version of MSE is it? And what operating system is it installed on the machine? Give me those four things and I will pass them on to Roy, which will get right to the developers of MSE. So very cool. Thank you very much for that. This is from James, who is not in the chat right now. And this is moving my docs. I just caught on one of your past shows that you were discussing moving my docs to another location by default. You mentioned that it required some edit of the registry. However, that's not required unless you're trying to redirect all users of a computer to, say, a network share and not using group policy to do this. To do this to your own computer, the steps are very easy. In XP, all you need to do is right-click on My Documents in the Start menu, go to the Properties, and target to put My Documents anywhere else you care to use, such as a separate partition, a network NAS, or potentially using a flash disk might be a good idea, as flash should last longer and could be removed if, say, you send your notebook in for repair. XP will even ask if you want to move the current data. I'll skip Vista since it's DOA OS and jump to Windows 7, where it's even easier, because in Windows 7, we should really be using libraries, so locations don't mean as much. Again, right-click on My Documents, Properties, and ta-da, you can add and remove locations that will be included in the Windows 7 documents library. Now, instead of having just one My Docs, you can include as many locations as you want, which can contain documents. Also, quick note on antivirus products. I don't think any one product is that much better than another, although I don't care at all for certain yellow box products or the guys that created the first commercial PC product. Everyone should be able to determine who they are. When you look at AVG, Trend, Avast, or even Microsoft Essentials, they all do a decent job. And what works great this year may suck next year. We need to look at how the product will be used, the type of customer, what management level we need, how resource intensive that version is, and reevaluate the quality of the product yearly. Oh, and yes, turning off virus update completed is pretty easy. This is James, who's a Microsoft small business specialist. Thank you very, very much for that. This is from Zach. Thanks for all your hard work in putting together the Mike Tech Show. I have written an application launcher named Prompt2 at prompt2launcher.com, which I think you might be interested in checking out and possibly putting on the Mike Tech Show for other fellow Mike Tech Show listeners to hear about. Be cautious on links that I tell you I have not tried, and I just haven't had a chance to try some of these applications out. But make sure your antivirus is up to date, your anti-spyware is up to date, and practice safe computing using McAfee Site Advisor or Web of Trust within your Firefox browser. Also, keep your Windows updates up to date. And LaForge 129, Paul in the chat, that was a good reminder. Thank you very much for that. Windows 7 Network versus Windows XP. This is from a longtime listener, Pete. For those of you who have been listening for a long time with me, in the beginning, there was a listener who started transcribing all of my podcasts into text. And by the way, Pete, I have kept every one of them. I lost track of Pete. I haven't heard from him in a while. This is from Pete. I'm a longtime listener, and I have been here almost since the beginning. It greatly impresses me at how far you have come. Not only have you helped me by providing a very high quality podcast, but you have also turned me on to several other good shows. Without your show, I would have never learned the many tips and tricks that I use and pass on to others. Even though I have never personally met you, when I am telling someone about a tip or trick that I have learned from your show, Tech Vets, Pod Nuts, or any of the other shows, I talk about you and the others like you are family and that I know you. I feel like I do. Now, here is where I could really use some help with restoring my home network. Let me give you a little background. I have a home network set up with an XP desktop as my main system, connected via Ethernet to a Linksys router and my DSL modem. This computer has two external hard drives connected via USB, and they were set up as shared drives so that anyone on the network could access any files. I had absolutely no problem setting this network up. Another WinXP desktop machine is connected via wireless and also has a USB external shared drive. Three laptops, one Windows XP and two Windows Vista, are connected via wireless. All of this equipment was working without fail for a few years. My DSL modem from my provider had connection issues and will only intermittently connect to the internet. I called AT&T and they sent a tech out who replaced my modem. Now the modem I have is a Motorola unit that has a router built in. I now no longer need my Linksys router. As my luck has it, my main system has a hard drive failure. I decided it is old and I'm going to replace it. Now the problem. I go and buy a new system. eMachines unit from Walmart. Enter Windows 7. I bring it home and hook it up to the Motorola modem router and try to return to my previously set up network as explained above. I am able to get to the internet with all my machines, but can't see any machines or data from any other machines except for the machine I am using. I was unable to understand what I have to do to get the network shares and the network printer from the main Windows 7 computer to work for all my machines. To me, the instructions on Windows 7 computers are not clear. From what I get out of the material, I am only to set up a home group if my computers are also Windows 7. No, you can actually create a work group name on Windows 7, and that's where the problem lies. Your Windows 7 machine probably doesn't have the same work group name, and that's why you're having trouble. Home groups are only for all Windows 7 machines. Let me finish this. He says, there is no mention of how to set up mixed systems unless I just can't comprehend what I'm reading. Any help you could provide will be greatly appreciated. Home groups are for all of your systems being Windows 7. You can go to a home group, you set a password, pick a word, just any word, then go to every system, go to your home group and pick the same password. Now, when you go into home groups, you can specify what you are going to share for each of those machines. It can be your My Documents, it can be the public shares, whatever you want, you get to check boxes. Now, with all the Windows 7 machines, now this is on a pure Windows 7 network for home, all the Windows 7 machines, all with the same home group password, they're all going to appear. When you bring up Explorer in Windows 7, the File Explorer, you can easily click Network, open it up, and you'll see all the machines that's part of the home group. You also will see them when you open up Home Group. Everybody that's part of the Home Group, you will see it. It is easy to access, easy to use. Now the hard part. When you have a mixture, you got to make sure that the group, the work group name is the same. And you can get to that by clicking Start, then clicking Control Panel, go to System, and over on the left-hand side, you can see all of the system information and all of the traditional looking, I guess, information for device manager, for the computer and the computer name. Once you drill down, you know, those menus look the same in Windows 7. It's just, it's all front-ended a little different in Control Panel. But when you get right down to it on the classic menus on the left-hand side, and you open them up, it's going to look familiar. And then you go into the computer name and you change the workgroup name. Once that's done, I want to make sure that you can see all the computers on your network. If you have Windows 7 Home Premium, which is what I'm assuming here, you should not have a problem. Now, I have Windows 7 Ultimate, but I'm not connected to a domain. Not only can I see my XP machines, I actually can see shares on my Mac, but that's for another story. When you do that, let me know, and I'm going to dig up some links, and LaForge in the chat has dug up a couple links. Check out the show notes for this show for $2.99, and you might see additional links that I'm going to dig up here that I think is going to help you out. This is from Lalo. He says, I now have WordPress up and running through my GoDaddy hosting. My question is, what is the best way to back up WordPress in the event of misconfigurations or deleted files? Love the show. There are two plugins that are absolutely required. One backs up the database. The other one backs up everything else. I will have links to both of those plugins in the show notes. Alan, his title is Decisions, Decisions. I have been using Microsoft Outlook since the first version came out in 1997, so have I, and currently running Outlook 2010 beta. Outlook 97 should have been sold with a bone and leash since it was a real dog. Since that time, Microsoft Outlook has improved version over version. I don't know. I actually took a year off of Outlook and went to Thunderbird because it became such a pig. And then I went back to Outlook. So anyway, a whole year I made it. I live in Outlook in my daily computer routine and cannot live without it. Same here. My problem is syncing devices, computers, and different operating systems for email, contacts, and calendar. I was looking at Exchange hosting through a variety of companies for one email account through my domain. I did not get a warm and fuzzy feeling from companies like GoDaddy and others, even though their prices are low. I have looked at Intermedia and will set up a single user for $15 per month. They look very professional and their reviews are quite good. Well, that's Intermedia.net. Now, I have learned about Google Apps for Business with a single user cost of $50 per year. Right on. That's the way to do it. Do you have suggestions or comments regarding a hosted Exchange 2010 solution versus using Google Apps for Business? It depends on how many users, what is the IT support that's going to help an Exchange environment. I think for a company with just a few users, the way to go is go host it. Google Business, for $50 per year per user, you will never match what it would cost on the IT side to support an Exchange server on site. I'm sorry, but I'm an IT consultant and I'm cutting my own throat here by recommending this. You definitely have to look at hosted Exchange services because it's going to be cost effective, it's going to be easy, and you know what? It's hosted in the cloud. You don't have to worry about your network and everything it takes to support that on a local network. You're going to have easy remote access. You'll be able to sync it with everything you want, whether it's your BlackBerry or your iPhone. I highly recommend going with the Google Apps. Alan in California, let me know how you make out. This is from Scott, who sent me an email because he said, you know what? The show sizes were kind of funny. The last two shows, if you look at show 299, it was 40 minutes, but it was a 37 meg file. Show 298. Show 297 was 42 minutes, but was only 19 megs. I had audio problems with show 297, and I didn't realize it until I went to go edit, and I could not save and get audio quality greater than 64-bit. That's why it sounds kind of hollow and the sound wasn't as good. So I corrected that in show 298 and now show 299. I hope I'm okay here. I emailed him back as to what happened. Door-to-door geek, he emailed me and said, hey, what's that product that you recommend that does a network scan of everything and gets all the devices and then puts it all back together? It's called Sidi, and I've dedicated shows to it, S-Y-D-I. The site is SidiProject.com. Winston turned me on to it a long time ago. The program is a series of scripts. It is phenomenal. This is from Mike in the UK. Backup problem. Hi, Mike. Love the show. Listen while I'm welding using my Sansa player. My question is, I have two 250 gig external drives. One has a folder backup one. The other is backup two. They contain about 190 gigs of my files. Boy, this sounds like a math problem anyway. I use SyncToy to backup one to two. Every time I do this, there is a 4 gig difference in the content on drive one to drive two. Oh, something's wrong there. And even you sync back and get the same difference. Any ideas what's going on? And this is to give a shout out to the UK listeners, especially in Lincoln, to all of my UK listeners. And I have a lot in the UK. I thank you. I also, outside of this country, and I'm going to get back to his question, I have a lot of listeners in Canada, the UK. And then I would say, other than the United States, of course, being number one, high up on that list is Australia. when I see the downloads and where they're coming from, we got the UK, Canada, and Australia. So hello to everybody. And thank you so much. And we got Kate waving from in the chat from Canada. All right. There's something up when you're getting a 4 gig difference on the sync. Do you have some hidden files? Is the sync program not backing up all of the subdirectories? I believe you got some files that are not being read. Maybe there's a damaged file or there's something wrong and you need to check the logs of sync back to make sure that it's not failing on some big files. I mean, this is the only thing I can think of. Those programs work. They sync everything that they can copy. Now, remember, there could be a problem copying. So hopefully I've given you some things to look at by checking the logs there. Get back to me and let me know if that helped. This is from Robert. After listening to show 298, I remember an add-in for Office 2007. 2007 Microsoft Office add-in to save as a PDF or XPS. He has the link, and I will put that in the show notes. Thank you so much for that, Robert. The last email, and then I have lots of things to talk about. This is from Jay. Hi, Mike. I've been a fan of your podcast for almost 5 years now. Great job. Can't wait for show 300. I lost my position as a network administrator last August, and interviews have been few and far between. After hearing about your offer to review someone's resume and they didn't send it to you, I'll send mine. Jay, send it in. If you have any free time, would you be willing to help me out? Yes, I will help you out. I found your shows on job search and resumes to be great. In fact, I have a CD of show number 10. That was the original show I did on how to prepare for the interview in my truck and listen on my way to interviews. Way to go, Jay. You know what? If you stick with it and you followed my advice, I can't guarantee a job, but you know what? I can stack the odds in your favor a little bit if you follow my tips. How can you win on show 300? You have the clue from last week. The clue for this week is the name Liz Longley, Lizlongley. I'll be playing some music from her in a few moments. You have the two clues. I want you to compose an email and say contest for show 300, something like that in the subject line. Email miketechshow@gmail.com. Put both clues in the body of the email and then tell me which one of the prizes you would like to be considered to win. Okay? It's going to be a random drawing. If you give me the correct clues that I've mentioned, here's the prizes. A book, Windows 7 Secrets, brand new. It's going to be shipped from Amazon to you. And that's donated by Winston. Windows Server R2 2008 Unleashed. It's the hardback book donated by Winston. He will ship it directly from Amazon. $50 Amazon gift certificate that I'll be sending you. A $50 PayPal. That means just cash. So you have to have a PayPal account. The next two prizes, a 1 gigabyte 5-port D-Link. So 5 gig ports D-Link switch, brand new, shrink wrapped, that was donated by Jorge. Also, a Panasonic 2-line phone system. So we got 6 prizes here. You got to tell me which one you want. Put both clues in the email. I will pick 6 winners next week, and we're going to get them into your hands as soon as possible. That's why I made this very easy to do. So you got Windows 7 Secrets book, Windows Server R2 2008, $50 Amazon gift certificate, $50 PayPal cash, the 5-port gig switch, the Panasonic 2-line phone. Good luck, everybody. Now, some independent music since Liz Longley's The Clue. Oh, I love this song from her latest CD. The song is Rush. I've played this before. Give a listen.
Don't stop. I like where this is going. You've got a way of coming over me like rain. And you your body warm to the touch, and you're terrified. Well, that makes two of us now, just the two of us now. Have you ever felt so alive as I feel with you tonight? So deep in your arms. And have you ever had a love so real that through your veins you could almost feel a rush of blood to your heart? With one kiss, you cover every inch of my skin in pure bliss. And all the sound of you aching for more. Steady as you unfold me and unleash a desire that will never die. Have you ever felt so alive as I feel with you tonight? So deep in your arms. And have you ever had a love so real that through your veins you could almost feel a rush of blood to your heart, to your heart? The bare moon shining through the window, our shadows dancing on the wall, the pulse racing like the thunder as we surrender to it all. Well, have you ever felt so alive as I feel with you tonight? So deep in your arms. And have you
That is Liz Longley from her latest CD, and the title of that song is Rush. And I will have a link to her website, and it's LizLongley.com. You can also find her on GarageBand.com. That's how I found her. And she is from Philadelphia, so I love supporting a local artist. To wrap up the show here, I want to just mention a couple things. I want to thank you so much, not only for your support of the sponsors, and GoToMeeting will be back next week. I want to thank you for your affiliate support, my Amazon link. Thank you for continuing to use that and spread the word on going to my site and picking the Amazon link. Also, Steve Cherubino's videos, you support him and me by clicking on those videos and buying his laptop repair videos. And you also buy, if you buy his tech website builder videos, they're great. They're inexpensive. I also have so many other affiliate links, and I just want to thank you so much for using them and supporting the show. This is show 299. Next week, I have 300 planned. Not sure everything. I'm definitely going to be giving away prizes. I'll try to come up with a couple surprises for the show. I'm definitely going to be doing certainly looking back at my past 5 years of podcasting. So please join me for that celebration. I'm actually trying to arrange the next day off, so this way I can kind of hang out with you late on April 1st, next Thursday night. So please join me. Hey, if you can't, don't worry. You can download the audio. And you know what? Even if you can't join us live, you can still win by entering the contest. So that's it. I want to thank you so much. Every week I get so excited to get behind this microphone and record this. So thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.